Trying to find an affordable place to rent in Seattle is not easy, but some new developments offer small, inexpensive, furnished spaces. You can call this micro-housing. One developer trademarked the term apodments. About 20 developments have popped up on Capitol Hill and the U District. That has some neighbors concerned. KUOW's Jeannie Yandel has the story.
Dane Carita works as a hotel manager for a luxury cruise line based in Seattle. He spends most of his time working on the boats. If he has a couple of weeks off, he can usually find places to couch surf.
Hey, friend, can I come over for a little bit? Thank you. Here's a bottle of wine. Thank you.
Dane owns a house on Capitol Hill, but he rents it out because he's gone so much. Late last year, Dane was going to be off work for several months, and he didn't know where he was going to stay. That's when one of Dane's crew members mentioned micro-housing.
You know, I applied and I got in the same day. So there was one left. I was so thankful I got it.
Dane lives by himself in about a 200-square-foot space near Group Health on Capitol Hill.
So you can see how much room there is. So I like this one because it had the big windows. I have to have that light in my life, otherwise I feel like I'm in a shoebox.
You can stand in the middle of the room and stretch your arms out and spin around without hitting anything. But that's about as much big movement as the space allows.
It's really comfortable. Just tiny, that's all.
Dane's rent is $775 a month. That includes water, utilities, and internet. Everything except cable. Dane's lease is month to month, which is ideal for his job. And his place comes with a private bathroom, a bed, and a desk. The only thing missing is a stove, so Dane cooks in one of the shared kitchens. That's where he runs into a lot of the other residents.
Everyone walks by and always talks about, they're like, what'd you make today? What have you created? They like to have little samples when I'm down there, so.
No one seems to have thought through what's going to be the long-term consequence for the neighborhood of having structures built where people are not encouraged to put down roots and stay for a long time.
Patrick Tompkins lives near Group Health on Capitol Hill, too. He's a builder and contractor who spent the last 14 years restoring his 1908 home. He's also a founding member of a group called the Capitol Hill Coalition. They're a group that works on zoning and land use issues on the Hill. Lately, they've spent a lot of time on micro-housing, which Patrick says is sprouting up like mushrooms.
This is an entirely new housing type. Now, new housing types are a good thing. And the land use code really should be flexible in allowing people to innovate. In this case, they didn't do that at all.
In Seattle's land use code, it all comes down to kitchens. The code defines single dwelling units in several ways. But the number one way is the presence of a full kitchen. So generally speaking, one full kitchen equals one single dwelling unit. In the neighborhoods with microhousing, a development with more than eight kitchens triggers a design review. That's a public process involving the city, the developer, and the neighbors of the proposed development. In the microhousing development Dane Carita lives in, there are 56 private spaces, or pods, for people to live, but only seven or eight kitchens. That means no design review.
I think this was the result of some developers very carefully reading the land use code and realizing that there was a loophole in the land use code that revolved around the definitions of what a dwelling unit was and what a household was, and realized that they could come in and build very large structures without having to go through the very tedious process of design review.
Patrick's not anti-micro-housing. He says there's a screaming need for affordable rentals on the Hill. But developers of apartment buildings where couples and families can live have to go through a design review first. That can hold up construction for more than a year. Patrick thinks it isn't fair that some developers have to complete a design review before breaking ground, while developers of micro-housing don't.
If you're going to build large structures like this, then everyone has to play by the same rules.
This particular housing type wasn't necessarily anticipated, but it's not as though the developers are getting away with something. It's allowed by the code.
That's Brian Stevens, a spokesperson for the Department of Planning and Development. He wouldn't call the land use code allowing microhousing a loophole. It's code that's been around for more than 30 years, traditionally used for fraternity houses and single-family homes with rooms for rent. Microhousing didn't start showing up until around 3 years ago, at the height of the recession. Today, DPD is tracking the number of microhousing developments in the city and looking at whether there needs to be more of a public process before microhousing gets built. Microhousing resident Dane Carita can understand why.
I get it from their point of view that, yes, you're throwing another 50 bodies in where four would normally live, but let everyone enjoy it as well. I want to be on the hill. This is my home. I love it up here. I'd move here specifically for that, and this just was just an affordable way for me to actually be here and get to enjoy it and get to be part of the Seattle that I love to be around.
North of Seattle, Snohomish County officials are considering a proposal to build microhousing developments. Meanwhile, down at Seattle City Hall, Councilmember Tom Rasmussen is looking into a moratorium on future microhousing developments. I'm Jeannie Yandel, KUOW News.